Padded Room Radio. My name is Darian. It's time for another episode of Black Mirror, you filthy savages. Are you ready to get dystopian with me? Are you ready to feel the pressure and the bullshit that technology brings? Technology's pretty cool. We wouldn't have this podcast or any podcast without it, but it can bite you in the ass, and Black Mirror is here to tell us all about it. Talking about Season 1, Episode 2. We're going to get into that in just a second or two. First thing we got to do, as usual, is get into our Patreon comments from last week. Let's see what we got here. If we got any at all, we might not even have any. What do you think of that shit? No, maybe nobody likes the Black Mirror. I don't know. Let's bring it up real quick. Black Mirror Patreon comments. Infomania, Clown, American Horror Story, Black Man. 7 comments. Holy shit. What do we got here? Started off with our old friend, Crackhouse Matt Krofcheck. I love Black Mirror. For as good as this first episode was, the quality has only gone up, in my opinion. I wouldn't even put this one in my top 5 Black Mirror episodes. I'm totally with you on that Prime Minister wife, too. Fuck that bitch. The dude showed unbridled patriotism and did the most selfless and humiliating thing I can possibly think of, and she treats him like that. Hope she gets pig AIDS. Well, that's an interesting stance. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man. If my wife were in that situation and she had to have sex with a pig on national TV, I would not be okay with that. I would like to think that I could move past it and not be a complete dick to her because of it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, somebody else's life is on the line and she's doing what she has to do. But it would take some time to get past that. I wouldn't hold her responsible, and I wouldn't be a dick the way that she, the first lady was, or whatever you call that over there, was to the prime minister. So I'm with you on that, Crackhouse Matt. If I was in that situation, I would make them look like the assholes. And by that I mean I would make like a whole evening of it and make like turn it into an episode of Blind Date. You know what I'm saying? Where like I pick up the pig at the pig trough and I'm like, hey baby, how's it going? And then I take the pig out to dinner, and then we have like those after dinner interviews, and I'm like, well, you know, I think the pig likes me, but I don't know if the pig likes me. And then cut to the pig, and it's like, yeah. If you have a sense of humor, then humiliation is just non. It just rolls right off you. There's nothing they can do with you as far as getting humiliated. Cakewolf coming in next. So we've answered this on Happy Hour. Question is: would you fuck a pig to save a woman's life? Depends on the pig, and it depends on the woman. So, you know, there's a lot of variables in that equation. If it were my wife, yes. If it were any of the females in my family, yes. My daughter, of course. I think that goes without saying. But there are some chicks out there I would take a pass on. Certain ex-girlfriends, I'm not doing it for them. No way. Do you think Miss Piggy is hot? Cakewolf asks. No, I do not. Cakewolf asks, would you rather eat bacon or pussy? In my younger years, I would have went with pussy, but these days it's bacon. Name 3 horror movies with a pig monster. Okay. Well, I guess you'd have to define pig monster, my friend. Just off the top of my head, I'm going to go Chaws, which was about a giant killer boar. I believe it's Chinese. We have a lot of pig references. You know what I'm saying? Like Saw. Jigsaw wore a pig head for a while. Same thing, Motel Hell. If you're really wanting a pig monster, though, there's another one called Boar, which obviously is about wild boar also. Another one about a pig monster. No, that's not a movie. There's a Clive Barker short story. It's about a pig that these kids at a boarding school start worshiping, and it kind of takes on its own personality. I'm going to have to get back to you on number three. I'm sure there's another killer pig movie out there somewhere. Pigs can be dangerous, my friends. Let's not forget that part. Cake Wolf coming in again. This episode, it needed James Cromwell at the end to say, "That'll do, pig. That'll do." I think we should have made the pig the star of this episode. How much cooler would that be? It would be a lot less heavy, that's for sure. You know, you see the pig grazing, and then all of a sudden some guys in suits show up and escort it off to a weird porno studio. And the pig thinks Hollywood has just called, and he's going to be, or she, I should say, she is going to be the star of Babe 5, Fat Pig in the City. So I don't know. Here comes Cake Wolf again. Would you rather fuck a pig or be fucked by a pig? Well, obviously, I would rather fuck the pig. You know, I don't know what the phallus on a pig looks like. I do know that those hooves would hurt, so it's probably best that I'm on the giving end of that equation. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe there's some pig erotica out there that will shed some light on the situation. I'll have Buddy read it on the other show there. There you have it, folks. That's it for the Patreon comments from last week. Thank you all very much for listening and donating and taking the time to comment on last week's show. Glad you enjoyed it. That was a little heavy. Something else to think about before we get into this episode. Apparently, season one of Black Mirror is only 3 episodes long. Were you aware of this? I was not. I thought it was more, but it's actually only 3 episodes. So I think we're just going to cruise through season one and shoot right into season two, because there's really no need to take a break after 3 episodes. So I'm not going to do a wrap-up show. It's only 3 episodes. I'm not going to do any. I don't have any of the bonus features or anything. So we're just going to shoot right through. And I don't know how many episodes season two is, but if I get to the end of American Horror Story Asylum before I get to the end of season two of Black Mirror, then I will probably take a couple weeks off of American Horror Story to finish Black Mirror. And then I'll take a week off after Black Mirror, and then I'll come back with Coven and Black Mirror Season 3. How does that sound? Is that worth your money? I hope so, because that's what I'm doing. All right, let's talk about Season 1, Episode 2 of Black Mirror. This one is entitled 15 Million Merits. Sip of my Gatorade there. I ran 9.5 miles today. I don't know if anybody gives a shit, but that's why I'm drinking Gatorade instead of coffee. Anyway, we're going to open up with our main character waking up, and he appears to be in a prison cell. Now, the thing about this prison cell, and this story, for that matter, is that it's very technology-based, and it's very, very dystopian. Now, I'm going to cut to the chase and let you know what's going on here. Basically, I don't know what this dude's deal is. He might be in prison. Everybody in this story might be, I don't think they are. I think this is like a new dystopian society, but he's in a very small room, and all 4 rooms, and I believe the ceiling as well, are basically a giant smartphone. So you have apps, you have avatars, you have different programming things and stuff like that. And, you know, that's what it is. And you're stuck in this cell with your technology-based prison there, and that's what you do. That's your life. And it sucks, but at the same time, apparently this is what we've evolved into. So I got the vibe that most of the people in this story didn't know anything other than that cell and the work program that comes with it. We're going to get to that in a second. So what we're going to find out about this guy, he's a big black guy, and he has the economy of this situation is something called merits. And he has 50, as the story picks up, he has almost 16 million merits. I don't know what that equates to in dollars, but it's a lot. You know, that's a pretty big number, I'll tell you that. But we're going to find out that everything in this society costs merits, much the same way it does in this society, in the world that we live in, except that it's instantaneous, I guess. You know what I mean? You don't actually do any grocery shopping or anything like that. Everything comes out of a weird food generator and like a squirt of toothpaste that's like 2 merits, and it gets dispensed out of a weird nozzle in your bathroom. So, excuse me, that's where we're picking this thing up. Now, if they're in these weird smart cells, what do they do all day? How do they earn these merits? Well, it's very simple. They get on exercise bikes, and that's what they do. You pedal your ass off, you earn a certain amount of merits, and that's pretty much your job, is pedaling this exercise bike. It actually doesn't sound that bad to me. The problem is that, I guess it does, because I don't think any of these people actually saw, like, outdoors or anything like that. They saw simulations of outdoors, weird cartoony Nintendo-looking avatars, their avatars going outside, which is not the same, obviously. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a fitness guru. I'm not a guru, but I like to think that I'm in pretty good shape. So I think I would do pretty well on this exercise-based economy. You know, I got good cardio. I could crank out some merits pretty solid. But either way, that's what you do. You get up, you get out of your smart cell. It wakes you up, and then you go pedal your ass off, and then you get some food, and then you go back to your smart cell and go to sleep and wait for the next day to begin. So it's kind of bleak, but at least you have this technology to keep you entertained. Now, there's a couple of problems with the way this technology is based. You have control over your smart cell, but there's a lot of advertising, and it just kind of hits you whenever it wants. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you're in the middle of playing a video game, boom, here comes an advertisement for something that you don't give a shit about, and you can't skip it or go back to the game. It costs money to skip the advertisements. That's fine. The big advertiser, though, is like a pornographic channel called Wraith Babes, and it plays that obnoxious outlaw song on a constant loop while chicks are apparently fingering each other and stuff, so that's cool. But, dude, don't get me wrong, inmates, I'm all for pornography, but I don't think I want it in my face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't think I can handle that. My dick would fall off at some point, you know? And, I don't know, man. It didn't look like real porno. It looked like a bunch of weird POV and, like, dancing, chicks dancing, which I don't think counts. So I don't know, whatever. It's obnoxious, and it gets pretty annoying because they keep playing that stupid fucking outlaw song that I hate. Regardless, so this is the day in, day out of this poor gentleman and his society that he lives in. Now, we're going to pick up with him going to his daily exercise bike, or whatever you call that, and we're going to meet a pretty attractive young lady that I guess occupies the bike a couple bikes down from him. We never mentioned get her name or anything like that, but she's got bangs and she's pretty attractive. And she clearly has a crush on our protagonist. Always looking at him. He goes to the weird food builder machine and it gets stuck. It's like a vending machine, and she shows him the trick on how to get his food out. So that's great. Everybody's doing pretty good. Also, I should mention that there's like a lower class of bike peddler. People that were too fat or too out of shape to pedal the bikes, they get sent off to a different place, and then they get issued some banana yellow jumpsuits, and they basically become janitors for the bike peddlers. Lower class, plus the bike peddlers, I don't know, man, but they did an awful lot of fat shaming in this show. I don't know, dude. I don't think that's necessary, but whatever. Anyway, so there's like these poor schlubs in yellow jumpsuits walking back and forth with dustpans, and people are just like throwing trash in front of them for them to pick up and making piggy noises. And one of the shows you can watch on your smart cell is like, I think it was called Bother Gut, where they basically just make fun of fat people, I think was the whole spiel of the show. I have no idea. It's very weird. But so that's cool. Everything's going well. Now, across the way, because these people pedal back to back, on the other side, we see a fat guy that's struggling with his pedaling. And a day or two later, he gets called down to the boss's office, and then we see him the next day wearing one of the fat yellow suits. So sucks to be him. Now he's really in a shit sandwich. Now, that sucks, but the good news is that leaves that particular bike open for a new peddler. So in comes a young lady by the name of Abby. She's pretty hot. She's played by Jessica Brown Finley. I don't know, prolific English actress, I think. She's done a lot of things. She was in that Frankenstein movie with James McAvoy and Harry Potter, whatever that guy's name is. What is that guy's name? I should know this because he was in Horns. Daniel Radcliffe is who that guy is. So she's pretty hot, and our protagonist starts giving her the eye. That's good news because he's now got something, you know, some excitement in his life. Bad news for the girl with the bangs because she was into the protagonist. So our protagonist, whose name we don't know yet, but we very soon will, he's like trying to come up with cheesy conversation lines and trying to talk to her, but he's a little nervous. And the chick with the bangs sees it, and she's getting all pissed off and butthurt. And make a long story short, our protagonist is in the shitter one day, which is a very nice, like, space-age shitter, and he hears Abby singing a little tune. Pretty cool. It's like a 60s doo-wop kind of a tune. I've never heard it before. But she gets out, and he's talking to her, and he's like, hey, you got a hell of a voice. Now, one of the shows, I'm going to put that on hold for a second, because I'm going to tell you about one of the shows that comes in on the on your four walls in your cell. It's called Hot Shot, and it's basically America's Got Talent, but even dickier and with a virtual reality spin on it. You got three judges. One of them is this Wraith dude who apparently controls the Wraith Babes network and bangs hot chicks and films it and stuff. You have some chick, some blonde lady, who has clearly had a lot of plastic surgery. And then you have Rupert Everett. I don't know what he's doing there or how he got there, but there he is. He's Rupert Everett. And I think he was playing Rupert Everett. I could be wrong. Anyway, those are your three judges. You basically get up there, you do a song or a dance or something, and if they like you, then they'll offer you some kind of an entertainment job, which means you don't have to pedal the bikes anymore, and you get like a bigger virtual wall apartment cell, whatever you want to call that. So that's what everybody wants to do. Now, here's the problem. In order to even get an audition with these fucking guys, it costs $15 million merits. Thus the title of the episode. So, our protagonist who introduces himself to Abby, his real name is Bingham, but he goes by Bing. And Bing is like, dude, I got 15 million merits. Where did you get 15 million merits? My brother died a couple years ago. He left them to me, and I don't really, you know, there's no extravagant spending going on with him because there's nothing to buy, really, except for more bullshit apps, more clothes for your avatar, and other nonsense like that. So every day he goes to work and just starts racking up the merits, and it's just adding on to his 15 million, and he's doing pretty good for himself. But he meets Abby, hears her sing, and he's like, hey, you should go on Hot Shot. And she's like, I'd love to. I don't have 15 million merits. And he's like, well, I do, and I would love to gift you a ticket to Hot Shot to audition for them, because I think you got a great voice, and I would love to see you sing your way out of the fucking exercise room here. She's like, yeah, I don't know. There's like a lot of back and forth about, I can't accept it. Oh, no, you can. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Eventually, she's like, all right, fine, I'll do it. So she goes back to her cell. He goes back to his cell, and he arranges it all. He buys the ticket to Hot Shot and then gifts it to her, her little avatar, which can pop up on his wall. And she's all pumped. She's ready to go. So it's audition day. They're firing on all cylinders. She's done a couple of warm-up throat exercises, and it's time for them to go up to the Hot Shot audition. So they basically go in and get in an elevator, go four or five floors up, and that's where the whole thing takes place. They get out. Apparently she can bring a friend or a family member to the audition with her, so Bing goes with her. He gets like a star tattoo on his hand that lets security know that he's supposed to be there. The lady said it'll wash off in like a month, though, and it was pretty cool the way they did the tattoo. It's like she like shined a flashlight on it, and bang, it's done. Pretty cool. All right, so they go in there. She starts singing, and pretty good voice. Everybody seems to be happy. Now, I should mention that this isn't really America's Got Talent. It's like a dicky virtual reality version of it because there's no audience. It's just a bunch of avatars projected onto a wall behind the judges, as if there were an audience. But regardless, she goes out there and starts singing. The black guy, the Wraith guy, is like, I want to see what those titties look like. That's what he said. And that is exactly how he sounded when he said it. The blonde surgical enhancement chick is like, I want to hear her sing first. And Rupert Everett's like, I kind of agree with a black guy there. So she sings, and then after she's done singing, Rupert Everett's like, you got a nice voice there, but I think you're much better off working with your looks, if you know what I mean. And then the black guy's like, yeah, fuck you. And basically what happens is the Wraith guy, the black guy's like, well, you come over to my Wraith babes and you don't have to pedal anymore and you're going to be a porn star. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not a big fan. And something that I should mention is that before she took the stage, they gave her a drink called Compliance. She just took a sip, but then she got all woozy. So when she went out there to sing, she was kind of dazed a little bit. To make a long story short, she eventually takes the job as the porn star and doesn't have to pedal anymore. Bing is just off the side of the stage, and he's like, no, wait, don't do that. But she took the job, and apparently being a porn star comes with a pretty good dose of medication to make you not care about being a porn star anymore. So that's pretty cool. But it sucks for Bing because he thought he was doing something real and getting this talented young lady and, you know, putting her out there for the world. Instead, he just spent 15 million merits to make a porn star. So that sucks. Now he's all depressed. He has to go back down to his pedaling gig and his shitty virtual cell or whatever you call that. So he's down there and the days start ticking by and he's all sad and depressed. Somebody else gets Abby's bike and he's pretty pissed off about the whole thing. And he goes back to his cell. He's only got like 9,000 merits now. He goes back to his cell and he's playing the weird shotgun kill the fat people game. And it gets interrupted by a commercial for Wraith Babes featuring Abby. Now in the context of the commercial, Abby is heavily medicated. You can tell just by looking at her. She's all woozy and there's like somebody on top of her, I think. It's all POV, so you can't really tell what's going on. But Bing gets all pissed off at seeing this, and he starts kicking his virtual wall until it breaks. That shatters the glass, and spider webs it. And he takes a big hunk of glass that is suspiciously shaped like a dagger and, like, hides it under the bed. Sticks it under the bed where nobody can see it. Now he's, like, rejuvenated. He's angry now, and he's got a plan, and he's going to lash out at this bizarro system that's in place. So he starts pedaling his fucking ass off. He goes into the exercise room late at night when nobody's there, and he just starts kicking ass. And he's not eating, except, to save merits, he's, like, eating everybody else's leftovers, and he knows a trick to that one vending machine, so people get their merits and the food gets stuck, but he knows how to get it out after they leave. So he's got all kinds of tricks, and eventually he gets himself back up to 15 million merits, buys himself a ticket to Hot Shot, and then like tries different things to get on the show. He's like got a dance routine worked out and he's all fired up and stuff. So from there we get to his Hot Shot audition. He took Abby's empty box of Compliance and hid it under his bed also. So he gets up there. They're about to put him out on stage, and the producer chick is like, here, drink this. Hands him a thing of Compliance. He produces the empty one, and he's like, oh, I already drank it. See, here's the empty. And she's like, oh, you're good to go. He's also got the shard of glass tucked into the small of his back. So he goes out there, and they're like, okay, what kind of performance do you have for us? And he starts, dancing and gyrating like a madman, and, like, ripping his shirt off and stuff. And they're just on the point of telling him to get the fuck out of there when he pulls the shard of glass out and sticks it, like, up to his own throat. And they're like, well, what is this? And he's like, fuck you! And he gives this long, emphatic speech about how they pedal their asses off for nothing and they buy stuff that isn't really stuff and it's all this weird oppressive regime and nobody's seen the outside or even knows if it's even there anymore. And he's like sweating and spitting as he says this. And you can tell the actor, Daniel Kaluuya, was really fired up in this scene because the amount of spit that he produced is phenomenal. And he is very sweaty. And he stuttered a couple of lines, but they kept it in there, which I think was a good choice because it conveyed bigger emotion in the situation. But he was fucking furious, and he was letting everybody know. And they tried to get him, but he's like, I'll stab myself right in a carotid artery, you motherfucker. And the whole crowd goes silent as he's giving this big speech. And what it all boils down to is fuck you for putting us in this situation, and fuck you, fuck you, fuck this, fuck that, fuck everything. And I'm not doing it justice, obviously, but he put it much more emphatically and eloquently. So that's pretty cool. And now the crowd is silent, and Rupert Everett's like, you know what? I want to hear more of what you have to say. And he basically offers Bing his own talk show twice a week for 30 minutes. No more pedaling the bike. On his Rupert Everett's stream channel or whatever you call that. It's a couple tense moments where he's like thinking about it and stuff. And then from there, we're going to cut right back to the Exercycle room where everybody's pedaling their asses off and swiping through the channels of their virtual walls. And one of his old pedal mates comes across what's now Bing's show. And it's Bing basically talking into a microphone, much the same way I am now, but with a shard of glass held up to his neck as though he could cut his throat at any minute. The message is still the same, you know, fuck this, fuck that, this establishment, nobody knows, it's all bullshit. And then he's like, the only thing stopping me from cutting my own throat is the fact that I'd get charged 20,000 credits for the blood splatter. So I'm going to stay alive till next week when I see you again, same time, same channel. And then that's the end of the talk show there. And then we see Bing in his new cell, which is much bigger, and he's got like real orange juice that he's pouring himself. And it's pretty much the end of your episode there, kids. 15 million merits. This one is, I get what they're going for, what the overall message is for this. It's like, don't get too attached to technology because it will eventually become our prison cells. It might be a good thing. It might be a bad thing. It might be indifferent or individual to the people who use it. But at the rate that we're going, it's very soon going to become either in our heads, like some kind of a microchip, or possibly the walls of our house that we never have to leave again. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess we'll figure it out when we get there, huh? Anyway, I like this episode. It's not my favorite. It's kind of it's kind of depressing in a weird way. It's not bad. You've probably seen this one, but if you haven't, I'm going to say you could probably skip this one because it's, I don't know. I don't, you know, now that I'm talking about it, I kind of feel like it's kind of depressing in a weird way. And, I kind of feel that, like, the way in which being sold out could have been any of us. But at the same time, can you really fault him for selling out? I mean, he had no illusion of starting any kind of a revolution or getting everybody to smash their virtual walls or whatever you call those things. But he just went up there and he said, I want to talk and I want everybody to listen and I'll put this fucking dagger glass thing to my throat if I have to. But he never really thought anything past that. Like, what's the end game? What is it you're trying to accomplish? Other than to tell these three judges to fuck off. You know? Which, I don't know. Maybe they have an email. Maybe they have an email. Subject line. I've got a piece of glass to my neck. I don't know. I don't know, man. The more I think about it, the more confused I get as to what the fuck was really going on. Anyway, that's about it for this week, Black Mirror fans. And Padded Room inmates, thank you very much for donating to our Patreon page. The campaign is still running. Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about the podcast, the Padded Room podcast, and all the work we do over there. Also, Horror for Dummies and Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. We are going to keep this Black Mirror train going. I will see you in 1 week from now to talk about Season 1, Episode 3, whichever one that is. I don't even know yet. So, thank you again. I'll see you next week. Still I care for you. You can run around.
me down.